time but my love by the gasworks wall.
Hey, I'm Scott, and I'm an American in Bangkok. Today, we're going to talk about Cambodia as an alternative destination. For expats, you know, with all the restrictions and new enforcements of the visa codes and laws and regulations and what have you, people are starting to give other places some serious thought, and one of the places that's come up quite a few times has been Cambodia. Now, I've been to Cambodia probably 50 times. I've lost track over the years. Every time I've gone for – there's been a couple of times where I've only gone for a day or two, but most of the time I'll go for at least 3 or 4 days, if not a week. And a couple of times I've been there for 3 or 4 weeks. So I've spent some time there, and I've been there when there was no ATMs, there was no casino, there were no Western Unions. You had to come in with cash, and that was it. You know, you had the cash, and, you know, if you lose your cash, you better find a way to get some more cash. What people used to do is have their stuff UPS or FedEx, they'd have their cash in an envelope with whatever else. Maybe they need a, you know, some kind of a document, but they'd hide a couple $100 of cash, and then they'd have somebody send it to them overnight because there were no ways to get the money. And the banking system many years ago, 20 years ago, was nowhere near what it is now. And even now, one of the weaknesses in Cambodia, if you're looking to live there, I wouldn't necessarily call it something that should put you off from living there, but something that makes it a little more difficult is the banking system. The banking system is nowhere near as developed and sophisticated as the Thai banking system, which is fairly good. I know there are people who they have their problems and they complain about not being able to open an account and this kind of thing, but all in all, listen, I've transferred $75,000, $100,000, a couple of times for business transactions, and then I've had money of my own transferred, a couple thousand dollars, up to about I think $10,000, maybe $15,000, and I've never had a problem. Once in a while, it may take an extra day or two for some reason, but usually it has to do with there being a holiday, or I didn't know about a holiday in the U.S. I forgot about it or something like that. And then I'm like, hey, where's my money? And then I realize, that's why. So, you know, that's one thing is the banking. I would have to give the edge to Thailand. Now, you know, one thing that's great about Cambodia is their visa system now is they make it much easier for people to come into the country and stay there. I think the cost is about $280, maybe $300. You pay, you get a business visa, and you're there. You can stay for a year, okay? And you can keep extending, which makes it that makes it much easier because, let's face it, sometimes, you know, you got to jump through some hoops. If you got a marriage visa in Thailand, it is a bit of a pain in the neck, you know, with the showing the photos and of your family in front of the house, in the house, next to the clothes and making a map and then bringing your wife with you and all this other kind of stuff. I mean, it is a little bit of a headache, but since you only go through it once a year and it usually doesn't take more than a half a day, it's not all that big of a deal, in my opinion. It's a little bit of a pain in the ass, but, you know, that's the way it goes, especially when you're dealing with governments. It's not necessarily a Thai thing either. And okay, so I'll give Cambodia the edge on this one. But the thing is, too, is that the people in Cambodia, they remind me of how Thais used to be 15 or 20 years ago. They were unspoiled. They didn't have so many tourists that they felt they could get angry and be difficult with the tourist or cheat the tourist and get away with it. They're not quite as developed in their interactions with foreigners. So in my opinion, the Cambodian people are quite a bit less mercenary when it comes to the money. This is not always the case, but in the case of touts, if you go down on the river, there's touts all over the place. There's or beggars or whatever, and they can be a bit of a headache, but most of the time you just keep walking and that's the end of it. And that's no different than, say, Sukhumvit, walking down Sukhumvit. If you walk down Sukhumvit, there's always some guys, oh, you want a lady? Hey, give me money and that kind of stuff. So when it comes to the people, I give a slight edge to Cambodia. I do see a bit of a change going on with the people from, say, 20 years ago. I believe their people are starting to become accustomed to the tourists and tourists who are not following the cultural guidelines of Phnom Penh tend to piss the Cambodians off. And I remember I was walking down the street and I asked some guy for a ride. He was just sitting there and he said no. And I said, ah, fuck. You know, because he was the only one around. There was nobody else around. And I had to walk. I knew I was going to have to walk quite a ways to get a motorbike or some kind of transportation to get back. And the guy just went off on me. What do you mean, fuck? Well, they really – sometimes they don't understand the context that is used. But, okay, that was – you know, that was my fault. That's where my swearing got me – in a little bit of trouble. It didn't, I mean, I just said, hey, I'm sorry. I wasn't talking to you. And then that was the end of it. But I still believe that the Cambodian people tend to be a little bit nicer than Thai people. I it's very hard to say, but it's just a feeling I have. While many Cambodians do not speak English, the ones that do tend to speak it far better and more clearly than Thai people. Thai people's English, let's face it, I mean, the majority of Thais, their English is atrocious. And let me tell you, my wife works with foreigners and with Thais, and she needs to speak English and read and write English every single day. And what I notice about her is while her speaking ability has improved greatly, and she's still doesn't always speak correctly, but her ability has increased dramatically over the years. Her reading is it's okay, and her writing is, I would call it, poor. So she knows if she's written something down three or four times, then she'll remember and she won't mess it up. But if there's some word, I can't remember what she asked me the other day, but just whatever the word is, sometimes she won't know what it is, and then she won't pronounce it correctly, and I'll have to correct her, and then maybe she'll need to write it down later on, and she won't be able to do it. Well, I don't see that with Cambodians, although there are quite a few Cambodians. They don't speak any English. Maybe some of them even speak a little bit of French, and that goes back, obviously, to the war. But all in all, despite these things, I still believe Thailand is a much better place for an expat to move to, and I'll tell you why. First of all, Cambodia is far less developed than Thailand. Now, if I was single and I was younger and I was adventurous, I'd probably move to – and I had the money, of course – I would probably move to Cambodia. I would say, yeah, man, I'm going to go for it. We'll see what happens. It's an adventure. If I was somebody a little bit older and I had a family, I would not move to Cambodia. Or if I was just somebody older, and I mean older as in their 50s or 60s or 70s, that would not be my first choice unless perhaps – Thailand was not an option because you either didn't have the money or you didn't want to spend the money or whatever it is, to each his own. Some people may like Cambodia better. I don't necessarily like one better than the other. I just think they're different. They're very different. Now, the thing is that if you're going to bring your family or you're older, The medical care in Cambodia is far less, the quality is far lower than you'll find in Thailand. In Thailand, you can find world-class care. You can get excellent care for a very reasonable price. Now, the prices in Thailand are going up. Their medical prices are going up. And let me tell you that I know for a fact, and this is something I'm going to do a video or a podcast about it, is that the hospitals, they will fuck you if they can. This is my experience. This has happened to me many, many times when I went and done the same thing over and over again. And within weeks, the price is 30% higher. Or one day I'm getting told I'm paying the foreigner price. And the next day I'm getting told, no, there are no foreigner prices. Well, then, you know, why are you going to tell me this? Why did somebody else tell me that you got the foreigner price, you don't get the Thai price? And then, you know, for instance, the other day I had a bill. I went to go pay it, and I noticed service charge on my bill. And I said, what is this service charge? I'm not buying a ticket. It's not like I've got somebody buying a ticket and they got to mark it up. It's not like I'm buying a train ticket or a music, a concert ticket or something like that. The lady said, oh, yeah, we add that to every invoice. And I said, really? That's news to me, because I got some invoices right here and none of them have service charge on them. Take the 200 baht. It was only 200 baht, but still, my bill was only about 2,000, so it was 10% of the bill. I said, you need to take that 200 baht off. I'm not paying it. It's ridiculous. Service charge for what? For being a foreigner? And the reason is because I have a VIP card, which I'm really not supposed to talk about. I have a VIP card. In the past, in the hospital, the VIP card was available to everybody. Now it is only available to Thais. And I raised such a stink about it, and about how it was racist and how I didn't appreciate it and how this hospital is only about the money and blah, blah, blah. And they said, all right, we'll give it to you. And that was my point. That was the whole reason why I bitched and moaned, because I didn't want them to think that they could do that to me, because I get a 5% discount. I bring my whole family there. My family's Thai. My kids are considered Thai. But me, because I got white skin and I'm from a different country, and I don't have Thai blood in me, they're like, no, you got to pay. You got to pay more. And it's like 30% more, even 50% more. It's ridiculous. So that is something negative about the Thai system. But when it comes down to it, you know, when you're talking about your health, you know, you don't really want to spare any expense. I mean, if you can afford to take care of yourself and do what is necessary despite the cost, then that's what you do. Fortunately, we have insurance, which helps. But, you know, I got to give the edge. There's a huge edge to Thailand for the medical care. And that's just there's no debating it at all. You know, something else is that there's not much to do in Cambodia. There's not much to do. If you've been to Angkor Wat, if you've been to like Tuol Sleng or Chung Ek, the Killing Fields, or you've been to some of those places and you don't really want to spend all your time sitting in bars yakking to other foreigners, I'm not quite sure what there is to do. I don't know if there's a movie theater for foreigners yet, or an English a movie theater where English is spoken in the movies. I believe there might be, but I know for a long time that there was only a Cambodian movie theater, and it was a little shithole. That's all there was. So while in Thailand, maybe you have hundreds, thousands even, of movie theaters, in Cambodia, you have a handful. That brings me to another subject, which is shopping. When you want to go shopping in Cambodia, it's not the best place to go. Thailand, again, is head and shoulders above it. And then one other thing in this list is the driving and traffic. Phnom Penh is not really a very big city. Bangkok is a big city. Bangkok has a lot of traffic, but the transportation system is far more developed. You have far more options, and you can travel in far more comfort. The roads are generally paved everywhere in Bangkok. You've got no problem getting around. While in Phnom Penh, some of the roads are not paved. There's still garbage in the streets and places. And while you can get a motorbike or now they have tuk-tuks, or you can get a car or something like that, they tend to be more expensive. And it is very dangerous. I know somebody who used to drive a motorcycle around all the time, and I did it too for a long time. And he had an accident, and it wasn't his fault. Somebody hit him, and they wanted him to pay for the damage, and he was hurt. And he was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to get out of here. They want me to settle this. I got to take care of it. I got to go there, and then I can barely walk. And he had a hell of a time taking care of it. That's not to say that just this one thing should put you off. Again, I don't think any of these things, except perhaps the medical care, are deal breakers. But I do think that it takes in Cambodia, people, you think driving in Bangkok is that the traffic is miserable and that the people drive anywhere where they want. Just go to Phnom Penh. People will – they'll go the wrong way all the time. They'll drive and crisscross in front of people. And generally the way that people drive compared to in Thailand is it's quite a bit worse. It's just crazy. And Phnom Penh is an assault on your senses with all the motorcycles buzzing around. And they're going the wrong way. And there's cars – just driving wherever they want, and there's people with six kids on a motorcycle, and they're all smiling and laughing and jumping up and down, and then you got some guy with propane tanks. You see this stuff in Thailand, but generally, for the most part, the roads are and they're pretty dangerous in Thailand, but they're safer than in Phnom Penh, at least especially to drive if you're driving yourself. I really think that's a huge thing, is the transportation, getting around. If you have problems getting around and you're not going to drive your own car or something or have a driver, then I think that the best thing that you can do is not move to Cambodia, because it is a bit of a pain in the neck. And then, you know, it's like maybe your fare is 3,000 riel. But you only have a dollar. Well, you give them a dollar. Okay, it's not that much. But when you're doing that five times in a day, and then you're doing it every single day, and you're paying the guy more, which that happens. Sometimes it's like, you know, you're supposed to pay what is the equivalent of $1.50, but all you have is two $1 bills. So you give the guy $2, and he's not going to offer you the riel back unless you say something to him and say, hey, you know, come on, give me my 50 cents back, which then, you know, most people feel like they're cheap by doing that. Or sometimes what's happening now is the drivers are starting to go, oh, come on, you know, it's $2. And you're like, no, I know the price. That's not what it is. So, and then after a while, you're like, listen, you know, for 50 cents, it's not worth it. But then if you're doing it 50 cents times four or five times a day, okay, that's a couple bucks a day. Say you're talking about 50, 60 bucks a month. All right, it's not huge, but for some people, it makes a difference, okay? Transportation system, far greater in Thailand, far better, and the shopping is also far better. Now, the groceries in Cambodia tend to be more expensive, and I think personally that they are better. There's a better choice, better selection in Thailand. That's another thing. Now, I did some checking, and I went to the website. It is numbeo.com. That's a cost of living website, and it allows you to compare cities. And I compared Bangkok with Phnom Penh, and I found some interesting things. The consumer prices in Bangkok tend to be 21.89% lower than Phnom Penh. Including if you add rent into that, it's 7.51%. The rents, however, are 46.45% higher than Phnom Penh, You can get a really nice apartment in Phnom Penh for about $300-$400 a month. And that's with security and cable and everything like that. Or you can pay $2,000 a month and get a huge house in a compound. It really depends on what you want. Restaurant prices, 6.71% lower in Bangkok. And groceries are 30.41% lower in Bangkok than in Phnom Penh. The local purchasing power in Bangkok is 119.28% higher than in Phnom Penh. That says a lot. So for those of you who think that Phnom Penh is so cheap and, oh, it's the place to go, and I've said this before, it's not cheaper. And I'll give you some examples. In Phnom Penh, milk is higher. Bread costs more. Cheese is almost double the price of cheese in Bangkok. Chicken, fruit, water, all of them are more expensive in Cambodia than in Bangkok. Now, beer, eggs, cigarettes, they are lower priced than the same items in Thailand. So if you drink beer all the time and you smoke cigarettes, then hey, maybe that's going to factor into your decision. Another example, Phnom Penh, the cost of living in Phnom Penh is higher than in Prague and also in Beijing. So that tells you a lot. I think that if you're older and you're very set in your ways, and you have insurance so that if something happens or you just don't care or whatever, then Cambodia might be the place for you. Prescription drugs, there's a lot more prescription drugs available in Cambodia without a doctor's prescription than you'll find in Thailand. This can be a good thing or a bad thing. You know, if you need antibiotics and you're sure of it, then obviously, you know, it's a good thing. But I don't know that the prescriptions alone are a good reason to move to Cambodia. I think that you have to be very, very careful if you decide to live there. And also, you know, this is the main cities. This is Phnom Penh and Bangkok. Outside of the cities, obviously the prices are probably going to be a little bit lower. You know, I can't really compare because although I've been to many cities in Bangkok, I've never really done a lot of research. And I think that you're going to find the same things. So I think in general, Cambodia is a little more expensive, but it is easier to get in. And if you are healthy and you have money and you don't really want to run around, you just want to, maybe you want to fiddle around and do some hobbies and you want to read, you want to write, you want to, you know, go hang out with your wife at a friend's house. You want to go down the river on a cruise or something. In other words, you can do some laid back things and that's fine with you. You don't always have to be running around and finding cool stuff to do and go see this and go see that. While there are things to do in Cambodia, I think that Thailand has a far larger selection, and I think that overall Thailand is just the place to be. And I've said something in my last couple of videos that some people don't like, and you know, oh well, that's, I've never really tried to base my thoughts on what people like. One of the things is that they think that it's getting too difficult to live in Thailand. It's too big of a pain in the ass. Let me tell you something. It hasn't been a pain in the ass for me. Now, I got in at the right time, obviously. It was no problem for me to get a one-year visa, tourist visa, when I first came over here. It was very simple. Now it's very difficult. Anyhow, I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Until next time, choke me, that chicken.
I met my love by the gasworks wall. Dream the dream.